Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Alex, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, Michael. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Super duper.
Great. Alex, I've noticed that I have all of these voices in my head.
Goodness, what are you doing with all of those voices?
I know. It's crazy. And I'm wondering if you could tell me something about the voices.
Well, they exist in your head, just as you've laid out.
Yes.
Not just yours alone, thank goodness. Got other folks join you.
Yeah.
And they also exist in a cartoon that I work on.
Oh, wow.
And the point of the cartoon is, well, there are a couple of them. One is to expose them, you know, and because they, for the most part, go unseen and unrecognized by folks, because that's just me. That's who I am. I'm just me thinking. I have these voices going on in my head, and I just assume that they're me.
Yes.
And so,
it's so helpful the way you lay it out in the cartoon. My experience of it, when I see it, it becomes so obvious that what you're describing is what is actually going on.
Yes. Yeah, I'm hoping so. It's been a lot of fun because most of the time they create a whole lot of misery for us, and it's not so fun when we're actually caught up in them.
Yeah.
But using them as an opportunity to point out what they're doing has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And very revealing in some ways, I think. But.
Yes. I notice I have kind of a fondness for the characters as I kind of get to know them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if fondness is the right word, but there's a recognition of who they are and what it is they're doing. I'm sort of less identified with the process when I can see what's going on.
Yeah, kind of like if I hear what you're saying, it's, you know, you've been there before. You can kind of recognize the process that's going on for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's something like a particular way that the voices get the character in the cartoon that could very well be a way that, you know, some of us get caught and like that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Alex, how long have the voices been out there? I mean,
it's so ironic that you
asked. It's hard to talk about it. The voices cartoon, yes.
The voices cartoon, they have been around. Tomorrow will mark their one-year anniversary of being released to the public.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Yes. How are we going to celebrate this occasion?
Well, it's ironic that you asked that again. I am in the process of putting together a collection of 10 handmade books. People from time to time have asked, you know, are you going to be making a book out of them? Some folks have been on the board, and some have been responding to the emails that we send with the voices cartoons in them, and have asked for that. And although this isn't the official, you know, published, you know, multi-printed whatever, you know, it is going to be a special thing, I think. I've just finished this weekend making one of them, and it's got most. I would say it's missing a couple cartoons from 2008, and a smattering of spot drawings. You know, like little one-page things that have never actually been put out through the web.
Oh, great!
And they're all bound together into a hardcover book that's covered with the shitenge cloth that I found in Africa when I was there quite a long while ago. And I think it's probably the most beautiful fabric I've ever run into.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I was so attracted to it. Who knew that was going to be the thing that would be the cover for the Voices Cartoons book?
Yes.
I made one and it worked.
Great. So you're going to make 10 of these books?
I'm going to make 10 of these books. And I was thinking that as a way to celebrate, I would offer them to the folks who are signed up for the Voices cartoons. I hear that there's about 500 of them out there.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty remarkable, considering you have to do all this stuff to get signed up for it.
Yes, yes. And I think you make a good point there, which is that people who are on the general Living Compassion email list are not necessarily receiving the Voices cartoons.
That's true. It is a special, exclusive, club-like offer. But it's so neat because you don't have to pay to be a subscriber to the Voices.
Yes.
So anybody can from now until I send out the email about the offer can actually subscribe to them, and you know you can unsubscribe at any time and all those kinds of really wonderful things. And you'll receive a cartoon in your inbox on Mondays. Every week, yep.
Right.
And one other thing is that the way that the books are going to be offered, since there are only 10 of them, they are going to be offered in the form of an auction, email auction.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, say, you know, some folks offer, it's going to start with $50, which I think is pretty reasonable considering I've been working on it since, I think, October of last year.
Yeah, it's very reasonable, so, let me tell you.
Yeah. So, anyway, the folks who bid the highest, you know, will win the book, essentially.
Oh, great. Great. And where will
the
proceeds
go? Oh, go ahead.
Where will the proceeds go?
Well, that's just what I was going to say.
Oh, great.
The proceeds are going to go to the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's a way for the Voices to become a sustainable source of income for Living Compassion and the monastery.
Oh, great. Great.
So that they kind of earn their keep, you know, because they are kind of mischievous and a nuisance at times, but this is a way for them to kind of pay back.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And offer joy and humor to folks as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great place for the funds to go.
Yeah, yeah. And what's exciting about that, too, is that what I'm planning on doing with some of the proceeds is that they're going to go toward making more Voices products for folks. So things like hats and mugs and potentially even another book, you know, a book that will be available to everybody.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
T-shirts, too.
Yeah.
Very excited about T-shirts. There are a bunch of designs already.
Oh, wonderful.
As you know, I think you've seen some of them.
Yes, yes. I just had an image pop up, something like, I have the Voices too, you know, or something like that.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Good.
Sounds very fun. Alex,
very
I wanted to mention again, for people who want to sign up for the mailing list, they can go to the Living Compassion website, and there's
yes.
a section there for mailing lists. If you're not already signed up for it, they can go there and sign up for it.
Yeah. Yeah, they Voices actually have their own website too. Although it's not active at the moment, but it will be coming shortly. And that website, which can get you directly to the first cartoon as well, is www.thevoicescartoons.org. O-R-G.
Oh, great. Thevoicescartoons.org.
That's right.
Well, that sounds very fun.
And that'll get you to a page that's stable for right now with only one image on it. And there's a link to the blog straight from there. So those who don't know who the Voices are and would like to check them out directly can go there.
Yes. And, Alex, I saw a recent cartoon, and there was a link to a video of the author.
Oh, dear. What's that author doing?
Yeah, it's very fun. That was
yeah, great. It was a lot of fun doing that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, just doing whatever I can possibly do to see what could get folks interested in the cartoon, getting the Voices out of their heads and out into the open, exposing them, showing them it with a lot less seriousness than they occur inside our own heads,
yeah.
And hoping that something can be helped and assisted through the process of seeing them exposed that way.
Yes, and in my experience, you're making a huge contribution to the practice of ending suffering and providing a great role model for all of us.
Wow, thanks, Michael. That's really nice of you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a profound influence for me, and I project for other people as well.
Well, great. Yeah, thank you so much. It's funny. I don't often know what folks are responding to them and It's just encouraging to hear you speak about them that way. So,
great. And maybe we'll hear from some of our callers about it today, too.
Who knows? Yeah, they might have things coming up.
Yes.
Some voices to expose.
Yes. Alex, thanks so much for taking the time today. It's great to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Michael. You have a great show.
Okay, we will.
Bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. That was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
The Voice's birthday.
The Voice's birthday. They're 1 year old.
Yeah, they're 1 year old. Ooh, one Kalpa old.
Yeah.
I pictured when you guys were talking this T-shirt that where they're all, you know, walking around saying to each other, "Voices? What voices?
Voices?
I don't know what these people are talking about." They are very, very, very fun, and this is a very Alex kind of a project. He's really an amazingly gifted artist and human, and to put this kind of thing together, I think people, you know, you can hear about he's making a little book with cartoons, and you just go kind of, oh, well, I bet that'd be. But this is going to be an art piece, I can promise you, a collector's item.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in fact, I was sitting here thinking, I wonder if it's like those, you know, when you go into a store and they're having some sort of big drawing for something, or and, you know, the employees are not allowed to participate in it.
Right.
I wonder if I'm allowed to participate
right.
in this.
Yeah, employees and family members, not
yeah.
allowed.
I have to do it under a pseudonym. Yeah.
Yes.
And for not that in any way should anybody, you know, take this as a reason not to participate, because if you're a Voices fan, you know, there just can't be too many ways to participate. But I Keep It Simple Books, we are definitely in the process of moving forward with turning the Voices into a real book. So we'll be working with Alex to make that happen over the next few months. And so, you know, it would be very fun, of course, to have a book a year of the Voices.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's very fun. I look forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And before we get started, I want to apologize. You might be able to hear in my voice that I've got a little residual nastiness of nose and lung. And so if I, you know, start coughing and carrying on, be patient with me. This is my first foray into extended speaking.
Okay. Yes, I can hear just a hint of it.
Yeah.
Sherry, can I talk a little bit about the calendar and what's coming up?
Yes, please.
Okay. The end of this month. Here is a four-letter word. A workshop with Sherry Huber. That's, I think it's a weekend workshop, June 26th to 28th. And that's at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York.
Mm.
And then July 4th to 10th, Green Week, hands-on, learn to live sustainably, strengthen your practice retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Sounds like a lot of fun, and there have been several emails about that as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think your choice of words, I know we throw that fun word around a lot in our practice because it fits. And I think that is going to be a really fun, interesting, exciting kind of retreat. There's just going to be a lot going on, you know, for everything from solar possibilities, you know, explaining how all of that works for a person who might want to add that to their lifestyle, to organic gardening and preparing gourmet vegetarian food, and along with just being at the monastery and in that quiet and sangha support. So I think it's going, you know, it's a little bit different kind of retreat, and it might be just the thing for people who are even perhaps a little daunted by just so much being in so much silence and sitting and that sort of thing. a little more active and interactive.
Yes. And as usual, it all happens within the context of that privileged environment. So
yes.
There are these fun things we're learning about, solar and organic gardening, and at the same time, I have the opportunity to watch my process around all that.
Precisely.
Okay, and at the end of July, or mid to late July, July 17th to 22nd, you'll be in British Columbia for a Compassionate Living workshop with Sherry at the Hollyhock Retreat Center. And it's not a very attractive location, is it, Sherry?
No, it's one of those unfortunate pieces of natural beauty.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I haven't been, but I'm telling you, everybody who has, their eyes just start rolling around when they start talking about what that place is like. So I'm really excited. And I actually haven't looked into it enough. I can't remember if I mentioned this before, but I think one of the options of getting there is on a pontoon plane.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I have wanted to do since I realized they existed. And I think there are a lot of other choices for getting there. But if you find it on the map, I mean, it is way up there in that sort of channel between mainland British Columbia and Victoria Island. Vancouver Island, Victoria Island. Oh, shoot. You know,
Vancouver
Island. Yeah, and Victoria. And so in my poor brain just can never sort out which one the island is. But anyway, the island. And I think it's going to be spectacular.
Great.
And now in terms of different things for different people, that's also a different kind of retreat from, say, Green Cove or, something like that, the New Year's retreat. So if somebody wants a little more time to be on the water and in all of that natural beauty and hiking around and don't spread it around, but hot tubs, then, they might want to look into that.
Oh, great. And I see there is nothing wrong with you retreat at the end of July, and I believe that retreat is full.
Oh, my goodness.
And there are more on the calendar.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's the perennial good time.
Yes, there must be something to that, Sherry.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And I have a lot of red lights here.
Let's see who wants to talk this evening.
Yay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Ramita in South Carolina.
Hi, Ramita.
Hi.
Hello. I'm delighted to call in tonight. It's been about 5 weeks since I saw you on retreat, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
And it's been an absolutely remarkable time. In some ways, I feel like practice is just beginning for me.
Don't you love that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see how conditioning had kept me small in relationship to practice, how it had been telling me that all I have to do is sit. Like I've got a regular sitting practice, and I've had that for a long time, but how that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, paying attention, coming back to the moment, okay, yeah, I got that. And
I'm good at that.
Oh, conditioning's good at that. My goodness, had me duped for a long time, and I feel like I'm just waking up, just opening up to all of the opportunities that are available in this practice, and just being blown away daily by all my good fortune.
Yeah, by the support, right?
Yeah.
So I'm actually working on a book right now as well. And it's the sequel to it's Child of There's Nothing Wrong with You.
Hmm.
And the part that I'm attempting to articulate now is the difficulty that people have with being identified and not knowing it. Which is what you're describing. right?
Very much,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I walked up to you and said, are you identified? Oh, no. No, you know, I feel great. Everything's really working. You know, I'm sitting every day, and no, it's I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as soon as you step out of that, you know, I'll often talk about it as the dark room. This is sort of the gray room.
Yes,
because you're not completely in the dark. You're here. But where you're getting your information, where you're looking for information, is still to conditioning,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's listening. So, you know, it talks, and then it listens, and it talks, and it listens. And we get fooled.
Yep.
And it's an amazing place when we step free of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, how? Because now, in the amount of light that you're in, it's like, how could I not have noticed that, you know, life was just kind of ho-hum?
Yeah. And I've had to deal with some of the voices about, you know, beating me up about, you know, it took you this long to see that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly. Yes, as a matter of fact, it did. However,
yeah, and
I'm
thank
on
goodness,
to you now.
Yes, thank goodness I'm here now.
Uh-huh.
It seems like, in prior retreats, I'd get to a certain clarity and then sort of coast afterwards,
yes.
and sort of rely on all the good feelings and the clarity and the practice that I'd done on retreat, and then it would just dissipate. And I'd say, oh, that's just the way it is. But this last one, I got it that there was a technique, a shift in perception, and it was something that I could do.
Uh-huh.
Not simply relying on a state of being that I achieved.
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, both of those points are so important, aren't they? One,
yes.
being fooled by that kind of feeling of, okay, all right, this is it. I've arrived. You know, I talk about that a lot with people who are familiar with depression. You know, that tendency to be depressed, come out of it and go, oh, thank God that's behind me. Okay, all right, now we've got the rest of our lives in front, rather than it's a big circle and it's going to come around again. Yeah? So there you, it talks you into, well, you know, I feel great right now. And then, of course, slowly that's going to be consumed, essentially by conditioning, leaving you right back in that place of oops. And then to realize, and this is another thing, of course, that, you know, a cousin to what it was doing to you, how come you didn't realize this years ago? That's, you know, that's what it wants to say when you have an awareness like this. But to get to that place of realizing this is what's going on, and there's something that I can do to make it different. Oh, my God. That is just huge.
Oh, I'm so relieved. And all these reminders.
Yeah.
You know, I've got the facilitation things I'm listening to and the iPod with the archives. And just, I feel like I'm discovering practice that's always been here. And conditioning has just, you know, allowed me to go on retreat periodically and sit for 30 minutes, but that's it.
Yeah.
And now everything's pouring
because you were happy enough.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's not like you were suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the power of what you've gotten is, but there's no end to this well-being.
Yeah.
This peace, this enjoyment, this appreciation, gratitude, expansiveness, it's limitless. So why not live in that? And yes, you know, like a people could see my house. I mean, all those things that I encourage people to do, I do every one of them. You know, I have things written on every mirror on the front door, you know, on all the windows, hanging from everything, things that I run into, because I want to be reminded. I don't want to go to sleep for a second. You know, so the voice would want to say, you know, why do you need all of that? I don't know. I'm slow. I don't know why. But it's kind of like, it's like being in love and feeling burdened by having to say I love you.
Yes. Yes.
Rather than, you know, I'm in love and I'm going to crawl up on the roof. You know, the old shout it from the rooftops. That's what that's all about.
There's no place I'd rather be than right here.
No place I'd rather be. Nothing I'd rather be doing.
Nothing's better.
Nothing is better. I'm not, exactly. I'm not going to get somewhere through relaxation, through getting to do what I want to do, through making my own choices and decisions, through getting it all done and behind. I'm never going to get anywhere that's any better than that enthusiasm and excitement and joy for being, living with my heart, living where my heart is. I mean, you know, if we got ready to go out for the day and there's the choice, let's see, shall I take my heart or not? I think I'll leave it home today. Yeah. But spiritually, we think that is somehow a mark of freedom or independence. You know, I don't have to drag that thing around with me everywhere. I don't have to always be referring to it. Yeah, I do.
Well, I know when my friends ask, or when people ask, you know, what's Sherry Huber about? What kind of teacher? What's that? And I just say, this is a person I know whose whole life is practice, who lives the practice more than anyone I've seen. And the people around you are doing that. The people, our Sangha does this.
Yeah.
And I'm just blown away and amazed and, like you said, filled with gratitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, I'll tell you this and then I'll let you go. I was at I think it was like a book fair or something. And I was talking to this guy who was affiliated or had spent time with or whatever, another practice that's very big and thriving and, you know, just, I mean, you have to take a number to get into a retreat. And, you know, I said, so, you know, what's the deal? And he said, well, you know, the way you people do things is difficult for most people. And so what you're doing is you'll probably never need people to take numbers. But what you're going to have is a smaller, way more mature Sangha. And it struck me so when he framed it that way, you know, that's really true, that's what's going on. It's not a good fit for people who are just kind of casual about, well, you know, I'd like to meditate, but I don't really want it to interfere with my life. It's, our practice is not good for people like that. But for the person who wants to go from a life of suffering to a life of openness and gratitude and service, peace, expansiveness, it's a great practice. And, of course, the thing that we all get to sooner or later is what we're talking about. You know, the old all those old cliches didn't get there for nothing. And it
really,
it really is true that you get out of something exactly what you put into it.
Well,
so
thank you. So
you're
much,
putting a lot into this.
I am.
You're getting a lot out of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
I hope you feel better really soon.
Thank you. Oh, I already am. Thank you very much.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night, Ramita.
Good night, Ramita. Thank you for joining us. Sherry, we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
With Sherry Huber. Sherry, I enjoyed that call. That was very fun.
Yes. Song is great, huh?
We have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Virginia from Washington State.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, very well. Thank you.
You're having some nice weather, I understand.
Yeah. Yep. It's
all of Washington is smiling.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes. And well, a couple of things. One is, Sherry, I just wanted to get a chance to thank you for the your role in the Precepts retreat, and just tell you how it just meant so much to me, the entire retreat and everybody who participated. It was just fabulous.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was really, I can't say enough. So
yeah, it's just such a well, again with Sangha, it's just such a gorgeous way to be with people.
Yeah, yeah, it really was, and everybody. I mean, everyone just brought so much intention and so much presence to
mm-hmm.
the. It was very moving and just opening and moving, and I just don't know what other adjectives to use. It was an amazing experience. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Oh, I also want to say that I finally last night got printed. I have the Voices cartoons came out with a mobile a little while back, and I finally got some cardstock and got it printed. So I'm making my mobile.
Oh,
get some feedback on that. Yeah, yeah. It seems like a really fun idea.
Yes, and especially for their birthday.
Right, especially
yeah.
for their birthday. Yeah, I didn't
yeah.
think of that. Yeah, so. And then I also wanted to just report back on a couple of things, Sherry.
Good.
Yeah, when I was at the Precepts retreat, let's see, we talked about really keeping kind of a log while I'm at work to see how stress and pressure builds up.
Mm-hmm.
And energy gets built up too, I guess.
Yeah.
And okay, and so then the idea was I was just going to write, like, where am I at right now? And I do that. So I've been doing that for a few weeks. I've been writing, you know, where am I at, and kind of checking in with the body sensations and the thoughts and the emotions. And then I write, what are the voices saying? And I, you know, I write out all the voices. And so I don't know that I have the entire system identified, but I have some pieces, and it feels like I'm kind of peeling off the layers of the onion. Yeah.
It's just that act of taking it. This Michael and Alex were talking about this earlier with the benefit of getting those voices out of your head.
Yeah.
So there you are at work, and you've been watching it long enough to know that this is a system. It's a program that you get caught in, and
right.
and to do an activity that enables you to take it outside of your body. Put it down on a piece of paper in front of you is just enormously freeing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is freeing. And I think, I think you're right, Cher, because just the process of doing that, in doing that, I've seen a couple of things, like one piece of content came up and there was this, like, knee-jerk reaction. And it was really interesting because I had just journaled. I had just done my log and this thing happened and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is how, you know, this is part of how it works. I see this is how it works. You know, I get content comes in, there's a reaction, and then it's like, and then everything, it's like opening Pandora's box, right, because all that negativity from conditioned mind then gets directed at everything, not just that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and what we want to do, what we're meant to do, right, is go, oh my God, this is too much, I can't deal, and push the lid back down on the box.
Oh.
Right? Because when conditioning hits us with that kind of just overwhelming, we just want to get away from it. It's like, okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do whatever. You know, eat sugar, drink coffee, sure. Okay, whatever. I'll get you anything you want if you'll just leave me alone. And so to stay there and have that awareness that this is why I'm doing this. You know, I'm doing it because all that stuff is going to come up and I get to see it. Really powerful.
Oh. That is, yeah, it is. You know, I'm going to have to, that's interesting, Sherry, because I'm just going to give you a couple more details here to make sure I understand what you're saying. When I saw the thing happening, I actually just said, you know, I don't think this is important enough stuff to ruin my day. I mean, and I just, you know, because the juxtaposition was so, so apparent that it wasn't important that I was able to let it go. And I was, once I was able to see, oh my gosh, this is how it happens or how some of it happens. And then recently I was continuing my logging, and another incident happened, and I really jumped on it. I was very reactive. The reactive thing happened, and then afterward, I came home, and I was clear that I was taking it personally, and I was able to. I pretended someone else. It was happening to someone else, and I could see how it wasn't personal.
Oh, good for you. That let's just stop and underline that. That is a great tool. So you just watch the whole thing as if it were happening to somebody else.
Right. My office mate, for example, in this instance, because she wasn't involved, and it was like it wasn't a thing for her. You know, it wasn't about her. I could tell it wasn't about her.
Yep.
It was about where it came from. And
That's very good. That's very helpful.
Yeah, it was very helpful. And then the next part was I asked, well, what's the projection, right? And I was able to see what I was doing makes me feel guilty and shameful and bad, or, you know, there were some bad feelings coming from me, and then somebody else was doing a similar behavior, and I just loaded it all on them, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, that's subtle.
Yeah.
That is really some subtle practice there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It took a while. I mean, I bought it at first, but after a while, I kind of looked at it more carefully, and it was subtle, because I think I do, because it was really easy. I so much wanted to blame that other person.
So if we take this out into, you know, the broadest of all possible, well, I'm sure it's not the broadest, but it's out there. So, you know, we as Americans say, let's just pick on us Americans. We like to look at other people. Now, a good target is Wall Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
So big business, banks, you know, all of those evil, rotten, greedy people who have ruined our lives. Yeah?
Yeah.
And we really want them punished.
Yeah.
For basically doing what we have wanted them to do all along.
And what we were trying to do too, right?
And what we were trying to do too. That's
right.
But I don't want to take any responsibility for that. I mean, who am I? You know, I'm just a little pawn here at the back of the board.
Yeah.
Right? But the process that I'm doing is exactly the same, which is, I think what creates the level of wrath that gets directed against somebody, you know, if we weren't doing it too and feeling bad and guilty and it would be just kind of one of those, well, that's interesting.
It wouldn't be personal. I wouldn't take it personally, right?
That's right. But in fact, it's the finger is right on that sore spot in me.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, what egocentric karmic conditioning does, is just try to deflect it back out there and play that ping pong game of, you know, it's you. No, it's them.
Right.
No, it's you. No, no, it's actually them.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I'm glad we're having this conversation because it makes me curious now to see what else, what other projections I have that I'm not aware of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. You know, that is when practice gets really, really exciting. I have this friend who said, pointed this out to me, that all religious people like mysteries. And I took that on as a little survey to do, and she's right. I've never met a religious person who didn't like mysteries. And I think it's because life is just the ultimate mystery story.
Yeah.
So when you start, so, you know, something happens. If the first level, of course, in the 985th level, all of those, what does this say about me? How should I be different? If this is my fault, no, it's not. It's my mother's fault. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There's something wrong here. It's got, you know, once you get through all of that, you're left with, wow, now that was a really interesting reaction that I had to that. What was that about?
Yeah. Right.
Now it's just all clues.
Ah.
Just clues.
It's all just clues. For example, with what we're talking about, for example, I'm trying to see how because the process I run at work is, I do everywhere, I guess, right? So it's all
the odds
clues.
Are good.
Yeah, the odds are good. So it's all just clues to help me to see the process.
Right. And Okay. Here's the, you know, the bottom line point that we always get to.
Mm-hmm.
None of it is you.
None of it is me.
It's what's been done to you. It's the system of egocentric karmic conditioning that's the overlay on who you really are.
Yes.
And
yes,
we're taught
yes.
to protect it and defend it.
Oh, my gosh. So it's got its own mechanism. It's like its own that's how it – oh, my gosh. I don't know what the words are. I can't get it right now, but that's its own – yeah, the protection
yeah.
that keeps it alive is just it's just self-generating.
Yes, yes, and as long as it can talk you into believing.
Yeah.
So if, say, you know, the voice says, go ahead, take those pens. They have so many of them.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you load your little backpack up with pens and pedal away home. And then, of course, it's going to start in. I can't believe you did that. I mean, that's
yeah.
– and then – you know, it'll point out every time somebody talks about workplace dishonesty or whatever it is, or, you know, you don't get a promotion or you don't get a whatever it is, and you start getting paranoid because it's feeding you this idea that, well, it's because they know that you blah, blah, blah. Okay? Now, so all of that, just take that as far as you want to do a little pretend there. All of that is holding you in a position of victim
mm-hmm.
to what it's doing to you.
Yeah. And that's what's so interesting to me about that situation that you just described is that it's all just a little below the surface. So
yes.
If you're not aware, then I can't even tell I'm a victim because it's just it's very
That's
soft.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But every time it says something to you, you believe it. Because it's already
right.
got you off balance.
Right, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah.
we, as conditioned humans, you know, we've been off balance since before we can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
So it's a, you know, it's a big recovery cycle that we're in.
Yeah.
Huh?
So Sherry, going back to the part you were talking about, when we talked about the Pandora's box and opening it up and then you see all this, which I want to see, but which conditioning tries to make uncomfortable for me to see.
Right.
You'd be a little more specific about that, because I think I was kind of alluding to something a little different, but I'm interested in
well, it's just that with anything like this, anything that it hits that level of, oh, God, not that. You know, oh, no, that's too much. That's too painful. That's too hard. I don't want to see that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to. That's a conditioned
okay.
reaction designed to protect conditioning.
And could the reaction just be, oh, no, that's not true?
You certainly could. Or you could say, huh, well, what's the problem with it? Mm-hmm. And that reaction, of course, is going to come from a practice with, none of this has anything to do with me. So why wouldn't I want to see what conditioning is up to?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's really the one that you're closing in on. It's all just interesting. It's all just clues.
It's all just clues. Okay.
All right.
Yep, I'm going to keep working. I'm just going to keep my hourly log and just see
what...
There
you go.
Yeah,
just keep showing up. Just keep paying attention. All will be revealed.
Cool. Okay. Thanks,
Virginia.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that's so freeing when I take it in what you said, that none of that is me.
Yeah. And I just wrote something recently that said, I was talking about sympathy or compassion for human beings, and I thought, without self-hatred, human beings, having compassion and sympathy for human beings would be a given.
Yes.
Who better to understand what we're up against than us?
Yes.
But because of self-hate, because of that system that's been in place for so long, since before we were aware of it being put in place.
Yes.
We can't see it. And so just to have such patience with ourselves as we make our way through it, just piece by piece by piece.
Yes. And you mentioned it to Virginia. I've heard you say it before about that system gets in place before we have any awareness of what is happening to us.
Yes.
And so when we grow up, there's no larger awareness to see how that's been added in until we find practice.
That's exactly right. So, now, I always hesitate to say this kind of thing to parents, but, you can take it. I mean, you can see with your own children that they have received a ton of information that they have no way to deal with except to personalize it.
Yes.
And so, by the time they have the ability to understand some of these rather advanced concepts that we live within as conditioned humans, the assumption is already there and so deeply held that it's just, it's assumed. It's not the kind of thing a person is even aware of. It's just a given that life is the way it is for me because of me.
Yes.
And, of course, that whole thing is false, but we have no ability to recognize its falseness because we are looking at the information through the information.
Yes.
So, mom and dad are upset because of me, because I've done something wrong, because I'm bad. And there's just not a child that anybody we're ever going to run into who doesn't have that going on.
Right.
It is just how it works.
Yes. Because the child can't see.
No.
Oh, wow. Dad's identified.
Exactly.
He's really stressed.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I bet dad had a bad day at work. Or, mom and dad, I think they're not getting along right now.
Yes.
I think there's tension in the relationship. And so, they're a little, I'm the center of the universe. Of course, it's all my fault.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And so, again, just to be very patient with ourselves and supportive and admiring.
Yes.
Have a little healthy respect for the person who's going to go up against this insanity.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's just such a gift that you offer us in sharing what you see and giving us the opportunity to see that as well.
Yeah, and that we can all find support in one another for doing that.
A miracle.
It really is. Thank you, Buddha.
Thank you, Buddha. Thank you, Buddha. And I was thinking as you were talking to Virginia that it's really not possible for me to pay attention to the show and remain identified.
Oh, don't you love that?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big argument for doing it, huh?
Yeah.
Which is kind of what, but both of our callers have alluded to, you know, that when we immerse ourselves in practice like that, in Sangha, it's very difficult to stay identified with that isolation and suffering. It's very difficult. And we've all proved to ourselves that it's possible, but it's much harder than when we are out there in a world that supports ignorance and delusion and is designed for maximum suffering.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have three more callers here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
How's it going in beautiful New Hampshire?
I know, it is truly beautiful here, absolutely. Well, I'm calling because I really needed to touch base with Sangha, and I was so happy that tonight was the night that, you know, of the show.
Uh-huh.
And just a little bit of content. Last week I had a really bad car accident.
Oh my.
And it's just kind of put, my whole life has just kind of gone upside down since it happened. And thankfully, I'm fine. I mean, I've got major bruising, but I'm fine, and so are the people in the other car.
Oh.
And I have had, like, just an amazing time with self-hate coming in, and, you know, I'll be like, yeah, I'm so thankful that I'm alive, and then I'll hear this voice, you know, like, you know, I mean, who cares if you're alive? I mean, you know, you lost your car, you lost money, you lost, it's just like, and I'm like, whoa, okay,
so,
you know.
And Janet, one of the things that I mentioned that I'm working on a new book. And one of the things that I was looking at recently, I might have to interview you, okay?
Oh, good.
Is trying to convince people that self-hate is as hateful as it is. You know, people just don't believe it. But there you've been in a car accident. You could have been killed. Somebody else could have been killed. Nobody died.
Oh, not just someone else. The other car had two 1-year-old twins and a 9-month-old.
Oh.
And so even though she came in front of me, all I could do was blame myself. Like, you, look what you did.
No, you're not blaming yourself. No, no.
So self-hate is blaming me.
That's right.
That's
and
right.
I just have had to keep pulling myself back and back. And, you know, I was just, you know, writing down things that have come up again. It's like, who cares about your life?
Well,
you know.
Now, listen. This is an opportunity that you cannot fail to take advantage of.
No, okay. I don't want to. That's
yeah.
why I'm calling.
Yeah,
that's why I'm connecting. That's why I'm.
Okay,
yeah.
So get a recorder. Get a recording device. Record all that stuff.
Okay.
Record it exactly the way it says it. So that you can, when this passes, you can remember how that voice really thinks and feels about you.
Okay.
And then.
That's right. I don't have to write all this down. I can listen to it. Okay.
That's right. And.
Yes.
And you'll have writing exercises too, okay? Because you'll want to keep this in front of you so that you never lose sight of the fact that there is a whatever it is, whatever we want to talk about it as, inside of you that hates you at that level. Hates you. Doesn't care if you're alive. Sounds like kind of wishes that you weren't. Wants to blame you for this horrific thing that happened to you.
Yes, all of that is true.
Yeah. You must end that relationship. It is not healthy. It defines abusive relationship.
What's really interesting, Sherry, is that I don't think if I was practicing, I would even, it's so under the, under the radar, like.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
subliminal.
I would even be picking that up.
Yeah, subliminal advertising.
Yeah, subliminal advertising, right.
Yeah. But because you are paying attention, you get to see it, and you get to see it for what it is. And the thing that you can know is, even if the stakes aren't this high, it's always there, and it always hates you at that same level. It wishes you ill all the time.
Well, I have nothing to say to that.
Right. Well, you know the answer to this, right? And that is that every time you become aware of it, you simply say, I know what you are. And then you turn your attention back to what you know to be true.
Yes. And at the same time, I can see at this level of what's going on, you know, how hard that is, because then I'm like, well, wait a minute, what is true?
Well, what
you know,
is true?
Then I'll
Here, I'll tell you what's true. And then you can get this off the archives later, okay?
What is
true is that you are a good person. You try to live the best possible life that you can. You make the best choices that you can make in every moment that you're there to make them. There is not a single ounce of anything in your body that would ever wish to do anything that would result in the death or injury of other human beings, especially the little tiny ones. That's what's true. You're a person who has devoted her life to a large extent to being of service, to bringing kindness into the world, to coming from a place of goodness and compassion, trying to be as understanding and open as possible. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you lose sight of this, you can interview some people who know you well and love you. And then you take what they tell you along with what I've just told you and what you know about yourself in your most lucid, centered moments, and you put that into a form that you begin to internalize so that you listen to it over and over and over. You remind yourself of it. You make it a mantra. You say it all the time, all the time, all the time. And the thing about it that the reason that that's so important is that that subliminal information is going on all the time, all the time, all the time.
Yeah. Because I've been so upset, and I think a lot of it is because all the layers in that I've been noticing all the layers, and it's just like, not like, okay, brush myself off and move on, but wait a minute, wow, yikes. Yeah. I guess I'm still always surprised at the level of stuff.
Oh, it's...
I know.
It's just, yeah.
It's always, I'm always surprised. It's
yes,
like,
we
you know,
are.
I'm thinking it's not there anymore, and, you know.
And or it's not that bad.
No.
No, it's
yeah,
not
and then
that
all of a sudden,
bad.
It's like, what?
Yeah, but let there be a little opening, and it just
yeah
comes out with fire snorting out of its nostrils, and yeah, it's evil, and it's ugly. It's nasty. So, you know, the other mantra that you might get into for a while is, I am so grateful. This could have gone so hideously another way.
I know.
I am so grateful it didn't.
All right, I'm getting on my mantras.
There you go.
And you gave me exactly what I called for.
Perfect. That's all we
Thank
ever
you.
Ask, isn't it? Take good care of yourself, huh?
Thank you so much. Thank
oh,
you,
thank
Michael.
You.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sure, I have tears in my eyes there. It was very touching.
Mm. I just, you know, the that book that was, I think it's still popular, but it came out years ago, When Bad Things Happen to Good People.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's that. Because bad things happen to good people all the time. But the part I can't stand is when it's happening internally.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's the one that just makes me...
yes.
I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I just want people to say, enough, enough, leave me alone. I'm a good person. I don't deserve this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's hard to do because, of course, of what we were talking about earlier.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Sherry, we have about 5 minutes left. We have two callers.
Mm.
We don't get to the last call. I want to encourage them to please call back early next week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't help it. I get wound up and long-winded. Just my nature.
Uh-huh. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Jen calling from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry that you're not feeling well. I'm getting over a cold, too, so I know that nastiness.
Actually, there is all that nastiness, but I feel great.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I like to make a little commercial for this sort of thing because I've had it for, I don't know, a week now or something like that. And it's been one of the greatest weeks of my life because
what?
I have way more energy than a human being should actually be in possession of at any given time. And to be in a place where all of the energy is needed for the body to heal makes such glorious time for meditation.
Mm.
So I quite enjoy it, and I always feel very taken care of. The timing of it is always impeccable in my life.
Mm. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to look at that the next time I go through that.
Just see if it doesn't feel like, maybe this was a perfect time for her to kind of slow down and get a little rest and have some other priorities besides go, go, go.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what is going on as you recover here?
Well, I, it's a Tuesday, and I've shared that I typically feel kind of fine on Tuesdays, but haven't felt fine because, you know, it's the radio show day. But I made a commitment.
Maybe we should have a show every day.
Maybe.
And then people would feel good every day because if they didn't, they'd have to call in.
I think that's a great idea. I'm really in support of that.
All right.
Let me know if I can help.
Okay.
All right. I committed to myself last week that I would call tonight. So I'm just following through with that. That I just have had, I sort of know intellectually to just practice with this, but there's been a part of me really having a hard time and really feeling really upset and kind of lost and everything else with your email that you're going to be kind of moving in other directions. So I just wanted to support that person, I guess, by calling in to put it out there.
And have you done the standard projection exercises?
I guess, yeah. I mean, yeah, I do see... I mean, I've seen some funny, I've seen that, I'm taking this very personally, it's about me. I mean, I know this has really nothing to do with me, but it's about me.
Well,
and,
in a way, it does. It does have to do with you. And specifically, the way it has to do with you is for all of us to realize that practice comes first. And there are different times in our lives, and we do different things in our lives, and the way that manifests might look like this at this point, and this at this point, and this at this point. I think to keep that in mind, that at some point in your life, you might also get to the place of realizing that what you want to do is just be able to focus all the time and all the energy on practice. And so if you get there, you won't have to feel guilty. you won't have to wonder, but is this selfish? You'd say, well, maybe it is, but Sherry did it, and she seemed to be all right. It really does have to do with you.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's helpful to look at. Yeah, I know there's so much to, everything is a chance to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. And, I know those things, but I think it just brings up just a small person who feels, a lot of fear and, all those things. So
there are two things. I really do want you to write down exactly what you think Sherry is, has, and does. Okay? So write that out. If I died tomorrow, what would be gone from the world?
Okay.
So that's probably the first and foremost exercise to do. And then the second thing, just kind of out of the corner of your eye, that I want you to be looking at is this actually a small person?
Okay.
Because, it might not be. So with that small person, what you want to do is offer her comfort. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if she wants to be comforted, then you'll be guessing that you probably are dealing with a small person. But if not... if this small person just wants to stay in fear and alarm and taking it personally, then that's when we start suspecting this is not, in fact, a small person.
Okay, yeah.
You with me?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay. I have seen, too, of course, it's a great opening to for self-hate. And so, I'll definitely look at that.
And
there
keep
is,
in mind, only ego feels fear.
Feels fear, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely kind of a campaign of, you know, well, you should just quit. And I know where that kind of a line would come from, of course. So.
Yeah, not from little people, huh?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you, it sounds like you just keep getting homework assignments, huh?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm
great. To have something to practice with, isn't it?
It's very good to have something to practice with. That's why I called. So.
Yeah, very good. Hey, I'm
okay.
going to see you in a couple of weeks, too. Is that the case?
You know, I don't think so, the Omega thing. I actually was thinking about it, and then I wasn't sure that I could afford it because I'm also trying to go to Africa with you guys, but that's been a big...
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll see you in a couple of months, but we'll talk before
that's
then.
That's been coming up, too, though. It's been like, maybe I should just put it on a credit card and be an Omega because Terry's not going to be teaching, so, yeah, I've kind of had that going on, too.
You can't trust her. Just when she says this is in, then there she is right in your backyard, so you can't trust her.
I know.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Jen.
Okay.
Take
well,
care.
Thank you. Take care. All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You've been listening to another great edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. I've enjoyed it very much.
Oh, me too. Very much. Very invigorating to my practice.
Let's get together again.
Get together again. And let's appreciate everyone who participates in every way that they do that.
It is the truth. It's the truth. And let's sing tonight. We'll do a little birthday celebration for Alex. Because it really, the birthday celebration should be his, not the voices, since for all of the reasons we know.
Yes.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.